right. As most of you know, we have a guest speaker with us here this morning. Eric Owusu from Ghana, West Africa. I first met him about 2.5-3 weeks ago at the pastor's Wednesday morning prayer meeting, and I was very, very favorably impressed with what he had to say in the conversation and so forth during the devotional portion. And then, just met him very briefly afterwards. And then the next week, much the same thing during the discussion of the devotional. Once again, I felt that he had something very important, valuable to share, favorably impressed, so I asked to go out to breakfast with him, and we did the next morning, spent some time with him, and maybe I shouldn't pour it on too thick. It might give him a big head. I don't know. But once again, I was very, very impressed. And so I took the liberty of asking him if he would like to preach for us one Sunday morning. I suggested this date, and he had it open. And so with all of that, I think I'm going to call him to the platform, allow him to introduce himself a little bit more, and his wife as well. Brother Eric, would you please come?
Mr. John, it's a privilege to be here, and he's a wonderful man of God, very accurate, and I'm so happy about the things he shared with us over there, and I thank God for his life and what he's doing with him. Amen. Yeah, I'm Eric Owusu from Ghana. We were in New York for about 3-4 years before moving down to Bismarck. We cannot share why we moved to Bismarck, but we believe the Lord sent us to come to Bismarck. And my wife is here, Bridget. Yeah. She's the reason why I'm here. She forced me to move from Ghana to come and live with her. So, yeah, but she's a wonderful person. And we are doing well. I have doctorate in theology, but that is not why I'm preaching. Yeah, preaching is not about what you've learned. It's about what the Lord is leading you to say. Yeah. And in Ghana, we're in charge of a church that is about 1,000 to 1,200 members. And I've been Assemblies of God pastor for more than 15 years. We've been opening churches for other denominations, and we've been teaching church leaders and pastors over the years. So it's something we've been doing for years. And today I'm privileged to share something briefly with you. And if grace us, I know we are going to meet again, and then I will be able to go down to talk about myself and then tell you so many things about myself. Is that okay with you? Okay, thank you. Let's share a word of prayer. Eternal King, it's a privilege to be here. We honor you, O Lord. We bless your name. We give you praise. Thank you for your presence here, O Lord. Speak through me to your people, that at the end your name will be glorified. We adore you, O Lord. Grant your people the understanding and the wisdom and the ability to receive anything that you are giving us today. We adore you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I remember I sent a pastor message about what I wanted to talk about. And then I have brooded over it for about 2 weeks. And then just on Friday, I woke up, and it seems I saw a scripture. And I'm like, do you want me to talk about something else? And then when I saw that scripture, I knew the Lord wanted to talk to somebody here about that. And so just on Friday into tomorrow, yesterday, I decided to change what I wanted to share because I felt that the Lord was leading me to share something with you. But before I get into what I want to share with you, what do you do? What comes to mind when things are so difficult? You expected something and it looked like things just turned around. What do you do? How do you feel? Where do you go? Who do you talk to? On that premise, I want to share with you something I have entitled Beyond the Normal. Beyond the Normal. When things are not going as you expected them, when things are against you, what do you do? Where do you go to? Okay. I want us to look at something from Acts chapter 24, verse 22 through to 25. Acts chapter 24, verse 22 through to 25. I read. Then when Felix heard the things, having more accurate knowledge of their way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. 23. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. Verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Amen. Okay, to bring you to speed, Paul at this time had been arrested, and there were a series of things that happened to him, and then some people wanted to kill him, and because of that, the leader decided to send him to somewhere, let's take it if it's here, send him to somewhere, New York. And then when the leader sent him, he met another governor, and the governor sat on his case. And before the governor would give judgment or do anything, the governor was expecting to receive something from Paul to favor him. And Paul would never give in to that. And then the governor, also the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and all of them had also given something or also wanted to gain the favor of the governor. And because of that, he also wanted to do something to appease them or to favor them so that they can honor him and then he can continue as a governor. And then because of that, he called Paul to listen to the message on why he was arrested. And Paul was so accurate, he gave everything that he knew concerning the truth, the way of life. And then the governor understood everything, and for the Bible says he understood everything, and then he knew accurately, he understood everything. Even though the governor knew everything, he understood everything, the message did not do anything to him. He had read the Bible. Somebody might have preached to him before, yet the message seems not to do anything to him. But understand that at this point, Paul was like in prison, confined. And yet, he wanted to preach the message to the governor. He was in a situation that he knew that God sent him. God sent him to go there. And when he went there, he was arrested. That wasn't what he signed up for. That wasn't what he was ready for. But yet, he was arrested. And when he was arrested, that didn't stop him from doing what God called him to do. So if you read Paul's letter, you realize that most of his letters he wrote was when he was in prison.
That's right.
So even though he was in prison, life was not normal with him. He didn't stop doing what God called him to do. So things may not work the way you expect them to be. Things may not work out the way you plan them. But in all that, what do you do? Two things I want to bring on bear regarding Paul being in prison. One, he never ceased giving praise and his joy never cut off. So when you pay attention to all his writings, he told the church, rejoice, and I say unto you, rejoice. Somebody in prison writing letter to somebody to say, rejoice. He was in prison, he was in agony, yet he was encouraging people to rejoice. But some of us are not even in prison, we are enjoying, but we cannot rejoice in the Lord. That was when he wrote most of his letters. That was when he did. So even though he was confined, he never stopped preaching what God has given him to preach. He kept preaching. He kept passing on to the people because he knew that that was what God has called him to do.
Amen.
I pray that from today going, when you leave this place, you will not let any circumstance, situation, pressure change you from what God has called you to do. And there are so many people among us, so many people in the church that God has blessed and they have total freedom, yet they don't seem to do anything for the Lord. His joy never ceased. He kept rejoicing in the Lord. You know, there's difference between joy and happiness. Comedian can come here and do some things and make you happy. Your husband, your wife, whatever can make you happy. Situations can make you happy. But the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
There is a strength that comes upon us, and in the face of adversity, we can still rejoice and be happy because we know our Redeemer lives. Because we know there is somebody that so pretend over our lives. Because we know that we are passing away and we have somewhere to go. Where do you gain your joy from? Where do you... So, the joy of the Lord is something that in the midst of all adversity, you will be able to still say true. You'll be able to go through without looking at the situations, the things around, and you still rejoice and you are so happy because you know He will rescue you. And even if He chose not to rescue you, you know that He is the Lord and He is your all. Have you read about the three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? For the Bible says they answered the king Nebuchadnezzar. He said, king, we don't have to respond to you concerning this matter. We don't have to. Because one, we know our king can deliver us. Our Lord can deliver. But if he decides not to deliver us, we are ready to die for him. I remember we gave birth to our boy, Zaidi. He's 7 months old now. And then when we gave birth to him, for 20 minutes or 22 minutes, yeah, 22 minutes, the boy was lifeless. Nothing, they were trying to do everything, and all the doctors were coming, the nurses, and I was moving around and I was laughing. And I was laughing, I was smiling, and I was like, oh my goodness. I was smiling, and then they were looking at me, are you normal? And I was laughing. Because I know the one that gave him to us will never take him just like that. I knew. And I was so confident that the Lord will bring him back to life. So after 20 minutes, and then I put on gloves and I'm like, okay, look like the doctors, the nurses have done what they can. Let me get close. Let me create another atmosphere around the baby. And when I got close, the baby burst up and he started crying. In the face of difficulties, when things are not working the way you want, what do? He never let go of his joy. He never stopped doing what God has called him to do. I pray that from today going, you begin to do something for the Lord. And another side of the coin is that the governor also have heard the word of God. He knew everything, yet it did nothing to him.
in that picture, we could see ourselves, because sometimes we know so much. We know so much. We know so much about the Lord. When we ask us to preach, we can preach. We know so much, but all that we know, what is it doing to us? How is it affecting our lives? You know, we come to a point where people decide at their convenience, that is when they serve the Lord. At their convenience. So they want to come here because it didn't rain, nothing bad happened. They want to come here because they don't have much to do. But if something had engaged them, they wouldn't have been here. Then it means you are really not working, you are really not working with the King. Because if you really know Him and you love Him, and you are really devoted to Him, He will be among your priorities.
Amen.
Yeah. Don't we take time? Don't we plan our vacations? Don't we? Why is it that we don't have plan for Him as a family? Why is it that we don't have plan? It's because the King understood everything, that it meant nothing to Him. And we are getting to that point. And when our children are going wayward, we begin to think that how is the system? It's not a system. What you taught them is what they are doing, because if they saw you doing it, they would have done it. That is what the Bible says. Teach the child the way he should go. And when he grows, he will not depart from it. So when he is departing, God is saying that you are the reason. Hello? Are we together? No, okay. I hope I'm not offending you. Okay, let's move on. Okay. One. Have you ever trusted Him? For the Bible says that the word of God that came to them did not do anything to them, because they did not receive it with faith. They did not add faith to what they received. And for the Bible says that Jesus went somewhere, for the Bible says that He could not do many miracles because the people did not believe. So there are so much that the Lord want to do among us. There are so much that the Lord want to do, and we want to pray about revival. We want to pray. We want to see increase. We want to see transformation and all that. But the reality is that if we are not doing what He's asking us to do, it will be a mirage. It will be like something we are just dreaming of. It will never come to pass. I pray. When I was back there, I overheard somebody. My wife asked her, "How did you get in here?" And she said, "Somebody invited me." How many people have you invited? When you hear good things, don't you invite people to go and enjoy? But what is about the Lord? Where is your passion? Where is your desire? You expect a church to grow? It's not the pastor's duty. It's your duty. That is why when Jesus was sending the disciples, He sent them two by two to go. And Jesus was waiting for them. He expected them. And the same way, He's expecting the same from you. Hello.
Amen.
I say hello.
Hello.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, the governor understood everything. The way of life. But it did nothing to him. I pray that from today going, you not just walk around as a Christian, but what you are receiving, you will believe, treasure it, and put it in your heart, and run with it.
Amen.
And I must tell you, the truth is that most of us, we are here as Christians, but in our hearts, sometimes we come because it's Sunday and we just have to go to church. And the reality is that in our heart, sometimes even though we believe that God exists, we believe He's the creator and everything, but sometimes in our heart it's about 50% or 60%. I pray that you really get to know Him, discover Him for yourself, and let your children know Him. God made a profound statement about Abraham, and this is what He said. Said, "I know Abraham, that he will teach his children my way." And it got to a time when God wanted to lead the people, He told Moses, "Moses, go with the people. I don't want to go with them anymore. Go with them." And Moses said, "How can I go with them? And then he said, you know why I don't want to go with them? I don't want to go with them because when things are well with them, when everything is going on well, when you're having good life and everything, they would think that by their strength they have received all that they have. And that is what we see, that is what we are doing. I pray that from this moment going, your attitude towards God will begin to change. You begin to have passion for the King and know that, yes, He exists, He is real. I don't know how many years we are spending here, but let's take it, you are going up to 200 years. And in 200 years, look at the number of years we go to school to study just to survive in that 200 years. And you are going to heaven for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. How did you prepare for that? Do you even go to school for that? If you don't go to school. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't prepare for that. But the truth is that whether we like it or not, whether we agree to it or not, the King will come. The time is coming that the things we see will be no more. I don't know, but I believe, and I'm tempted to say, yes, 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 back. Probably here was someone's farm. The same way, years to come, some people will sit and they will talk about you and you'll be no more. But when you are no more, where are you going? How have you prepared for that? I keep telling my people, it's not about what I have or what I will receive or what I will acquire. But I want to walk one day on the street of heaven and people will look at me and say, thank God you came to preach. You are the reason why I'm here.
Amen.
Amen. Have you heard from His word that He is faithful? Trust Him. Yes, He is. He can prove it in your life. Have you heard from His word that He heals people? Yes, trust Him. Believe it. He will do it in your life. Have you heard from His word that He is commanding you to go out and make all people His disciples? Trust Him. Believe Him. He will do it in your life. And as you dedicate your life and everything to Him, in turn, He will also begin to take care of you and your family. There is a program I'm running here every Wednesday. And when we started, I told all the people that note two or three things. That there are some things that are going to check out from your life without you knowing, just because you are coming and you are listening to the Word of God. The more you devote yourself to Him, He will take care of your family. The more you devote yourself to Him, He will take care of your children. It's just a matter of time. So I want you to leave here today with this understanding. When life turns around, when things are no more normal, go back to Him. One, don't lose your joy. Two, don't stop doing what He has called you to do. The third thing is that when you have accurate understanding about what He is teaching or what He is telling you, well, don't just listen to it and leave. Because the man couldn't receive, because when he met Paul, his understanding was just to receive something from him, material thing. And because of what he wanted, it stopped him from receiving the Lord. And sometimes because of what we need in life, what we are running after, we begin to negate and leave the Lord somewhere and go about all that we want. But the truth is that He can help you to receive anything that He's given you. May the Lord bless us. May He keep us. Transform our lives and transform our heart. Now and forevermore. Amen. Let me pray with you. Eternal King, it's a privilege. Thank you, Lord. I bless your holy name for your presence. I pray for anyone here with illness or disease, anyone battling with something. I pray that your power will change situations. Your power will transform us. We pray that your word will sink down into our heart that would you begin to transform us. We honor you and we bless you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.